Welcome back to the Tag Sustainability Talk Podcast. I'm Drew Backus, and this week we have the first of a two-part interview with Dr. Noah Meeks from Southern Company's R&D group. We discuss hydrogen's possible role in the energy and transportation sectors. He walks us through hydrogen's potential, its advantages, and some of the storage and transport challenges, and important safety aspects. Hydrogen shows promise for many near and long-term uses and could be key to the future of energy. Enjoy the episode. So today on the podcast, we have Noah Meeks from Southern Company R&D. Can you introduce yourself and give your formal title?
Sure. Thank you for having me today. Again, my name is Noah Meeks. I'm a principal research engineer for Southern Company Services, which is the shared service organization for Georgia Power, Alabama Power, and all of the Southern Company affiliates. In that role, I primarily lead our hydrogen research.
Very exciting. All right, Noah, well, can you dive into what you do as far as hydrogen goes? Because it's a very exciting topic. And I know it's been around for a long time, but it sounds like there's actually some things coming to fruition now and making it out into the wild.
It's definitely something that we are researching at Southern Company. We're looking at understanding how hydrogen can be used to better serve our customers, how hydrogen can be used to provide economic growth for our region, and how hydrogen can be used to decarbonize the energy system.
Well, that actually touched on a couple things that I had as far as questions go. But what got you into hydrogen?
I started looking into hydrogen as a researcher at Southern about 10 years ago, and I was very intrigued by the potential for hydrogen to serve across the energy economy as a common vector and a common platform, and it could do so without the need to connect to carbon atoms. In other words, it could be a good decarbonization vector. But more importantly, it is a great way to store energy. It is a great way to use energy, to move energy from one type to another type between thermal and electrical and between energy resources and between energy uses. So we think of hydrogen as an energy carrier, not necessarily as an energy source.
Okay.
That means it's made from energy from a primary source like water and electricity or from thermal energy and natural resources, and then it can move between those different sectors almost across the entire energy economy.
Okay. And just for our listeners' understanding, an energy carrier, would you say that that is similar to petroleum and natural gas, where they aren't the energy, it's just the reaction when it's burned? How would you define that?
Yeah, I think of the energy carrier as the refined product. The resource might be crude oil in that example. And then when you apply energy to it, now the refined oil product, whichever particular product would be under consideration, would be an energy carrier. Another really great classic example of an energy carrier is electricity. So electricity doesn't exist in nature as something to be mined or captured, but it is generated from these primary sources and then transferred. And in that way, hydrogen looks a lot like the electricity business in the sense that it's made, it's moved, and it's sold.
That makes sense. So I guess outside of lightning and static electricity, it has to be generated. That's a good way to think about it. Why hydrogen now? I recall in the, I want to say the early 90s, that there was a big hype about hydrogen cell vehicles. And my memory's a bit blurry around this, but I want to say our BMW had a big push and it never went anywhere.
Yeah, there definitely have been previous attempts to advance a hydrogen economy. One that was very famous was, I believe it was 2003, that President Bush said in his State of the Union that children at that time would be taking their driver's test on hydrogen-powered cars, which would have put the prevalence of a hydrogen economy in the mid-2010s. Yeah. Obviously, that did not come to fruition. One thing that is characteristic of attempts to sort of usher in a hydrogen economy was that it primarily was driven by automakers, especially cars. And a lot of that was done before the advancements in battery electric vehicles. So it was early attempts to provide electric transportation, but at a time when batteries were not as advanced and durable as they are today.
The batteries from that time, they sucked.
Yes, much improved technology today. And we're still seeing advancements in battery vehicle technology. I think in the last few years, call it the last maybe 5+ years, what we've seen around the interest in hydrogen is more of a cross-sector interest.
Okay.
It does have interest from some automakers, but also we're starting to see utility companies and gas companies and oil majors and other types of companies get really interested in the hydrogen economy, not so much for its application just to vehicles, but right. for its application across the economy, realizing that the uses of energy are interwoven with the production of energy across the economy.
That sounds a lot more sustainable to me than just the automakers trying to push their vision, because there's a lot that has to go into, you know, a hydrogen economy. It's like you've got to be able to fuel those cars. And that's a big issue. So I'm curious, are there any other benefits? I know you had mentioned some just in decarbonization and the multiple form factors that it can kind of take. But anything else that you wanted to call out about hydrogen in particular?
Well, I think hydrogen does a few different things that are really important. When it's used in transportation, going back to that example, it allows that vehicle to have all the benefits of the electric motor without any constraints around range and refueling time that we traditionally see around battery electric vehicles.
Right, right.
Knowing that batteries are getting better and better, and for many use cases, battery electric vehicles are fine, especially passenger cars that have plenty of time to recharge. But for larger vehicles or for vehicles that need more continuous uptime, hydrogen allows that vehicle to have all the benefits of an electric motor. So the low maintenance, the high durability, the long lifetime, all the benefits of the simple operation without the constraints around range and refueling time, because hydrogen is filled more or less just like gasoline
right.
is.
So it's the best of both worlds.
And then it also allows those types of vehicles to operate in the most stringent of environmental restrictions, including one of the earliest use cases that we've seen take off commercially around hydrogen vehicles is forklifts and material handling in indoor warehouse applications.
Okay.
So that's an example of how hydrogen, by powering electric motors, can be useful even in the most stringent environmental conditions.
Absolutely. And when you mentioned the forklifts, I think of the propane powered.
Yeah.
Now, would it be something similar where it be an electric forklift with a hydrogen tank on the back of it effectively with the fuel cell driving everything?
That's exactly what we've seen so far from the companies that are in this space is a hydrogen tank on a forklift, and then it's an electric motor. Okay. So the electric motor is energized by the fuel cell rather than stored in a battery.
Okay. So that is a great segue, but storage of hydrogen. I've seen a lot of positives and negatives and a lot of discussion around. People were talking about having to store it in high pressure and moving it around. And I just wanted to get some of your thoughts on that.
So there are ways to store hydrogen. There are ways to move hydrogen. I believe, and we may talk more about some of the technical challenges with hydrogen, but the storage and the transportation of it is really the most fundamental challenge
okay.
it has. Hydrogen has a very high, what we call, the technical term is mass energy density.
Okay.
So the amount of energy contained in a mass of hydrogen or in a weight of hydrogen is very high.
Okay.
It is among the highest of all chemical energies. However, it has a very low volume density or volume energy density.
I see.
And so in order to take the energy that you need to power anything and shrink it enough using hydrogen has to be under very high pressure. And so hydrogen as a compressed gas is usually stored in specialized tanks, and then it can also be stored as a liquid. Additionally, hydrogen is so reactive that there is an additional way that's pretty unique for chemical storage, that is as a hydride. And what
okay.
that means is essentially you use a metal or some other material and is like a sponge that soaks up the hydrogen and holds it close. And even at low pressure from the outside, it's able to hold those hydrogen molecules very close together as if it were a compressed gas.
So it's using that molecular force, be much more efficient with space than we can with just cramming it together.
Exactly. Using the molecular force to hold it together, but in a way that keeps it safe as far as the outside is concerned. Not to say that compressed gas is unsafe, but you just have to understand that this is an additional option.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then I'm assuming that you, going back to my chemistry, you either apply some heat or electricity to it to release that. Is that the way that it would work?
That's exactly right. Oh. Usually a mild heat in most cases. There are a few technologies that might apply a mild electrical feel to it, or there is at least one technology that I'm following that's early stage where they use light to dissociate the hydrogen from silicon. So maybe have LEDs, for instance, inside the bed of the sponge so that flip the switch, then the hydrogen comes out. which is off, and the hydrogen stays put.
That is really cool. Just takes me back to my chemistry and moving the different shells and all that good stuff. Anyhow, so I know you talked about some of the challenges. Do you see this as a near-term or more of a long-term to scale hydrogen?
That's an interesting question, and one we have thought a lot about, but I think the answer is both. Okay. And as unsatisfactory as that is, I think there's some very near-term applications,
okay,
and there are very long-term applications. And long-term means it will require a lot of scale and a lot of experience until hydrogen is able to participate in certain ways. I do think that it is relatively near term that hydrogen can be used in certain vehicle applications at an economic price point. I think the heavy duty trucking, and by heavy duty, I'm talking about semi trucks or medium duty trucking. These are applications that would be close to cost parity today with the right kinds of investments. Clean hydrogen may be close to cost parity versus the conventional hydrogen for certain chemical and industrial feedstock applications. We're targeting those places to understand that and to learn in those experiences and then scale it out as it makes sense for broader applications.
And I don't want to get into all the different colors because it gets very confusing very quickly for me. But when you say clean hydrogen, you're saying produced from renewable power. Am I understanding that correctly?
Generally speaking. So there's and this may be something you didn't ask, but I can briefly give you my understanding of clean hydrogen. Clean hydrogen is made without CO2 emissions, without a significant amount of CO2 emissions.
Okay.
So conventional hydrogen made from a process called steam methane reforming has CO2 emissions of about 10 kilograms of CO2 per kilogram of hydrogen. That's the metric. There have been different attempts to say exactly how clean is clean. In the recent bipartisan infrastructure law, it was defined in the U.S. to be around 2 kilograms of CO2 per kilogram of hydrogen, an 80% reduction.
Okay.
And where that CO2 comes from, it could come from the natural gas used in steam methane reforming if, for instance, carbon capture and sequestration were applied to that very conventional process. It could arise from embedded emissions of the electricity, or it could arise from emissions associated with biogas or other renewable resources that may be processed into hydrogen.
What are some of the concerns around hydrogen these days? You know, we famously have the Hindenburg explosion, but it's been a long time since we've used hydrogen for blimps, and you had mentioned some of the challenges around storage, but what else comes to top of mind? Because I'm sure you're dealing with some very novel approaches and comes with some different risks.
Yeah, and so I think you're primarily asking about safety.
I'm just trying to get my head around, if I wanted to think about using hydrogen for something, what are the things that you need to be aware of?
Okay, that is a great question. I think starting with sort of the safety risks, hydrogen is a very reactive molecule. So we have to start there, and we have to understand and appreciate that. It's not that hydrogen can't be handled safely. It's that it must be handled safely. The U.S. chemical industry has handled millions of tons per year of hydrogen for decades. Hydrogen is used at very large scale in some key industrial processes today. It's used to desulfurize crude oil.
Okay.
It's used in cracking crude oil in the refining process, and it is used in ammonia production, which ultimately goes into fertilizer. Those are very large scale. If we were to put them in the units that we're familiar with in the electricity industry, those would be hundreds of megawatts worth of hydrogen energy.
Yeah.
So there is a significant amount of hydrogen that is used, processed, consumed, and handled in the U.S. and globally today.
Yes,
I think in the U.S. it's 0.4 million metric tons per year is produced. So the risks around that are, now we're talking about taking a chemical which is well known at large scale and bringing it into more of a public facing sphere where you're talking about refueling stations, where you're talking about hydrogen being more accessible to the public. And then that requires taking the known risks and then readdressing them now for the new context in which hydrogen is. So when folks talk about hydrogen safety or needing to do work on hydrogen safety, that's what they're talking about. The characteristics of hydrogen are well known. How to handle it in all of the new contexts is still something that we are learning, which is why we're doing research. It's not to say that we're ready to roll this out or that it's ready to roll out nationwide, but it is promising, and there's a number of research things that we are working on. One thing I will say about hydrogen is hydrogen disperses very quickly. And as long as hydrogen can be kept in an outdoor environment or in a well-ventilated environment, the risks drop dramatically around it.
Okay.
Because unlike oil, diesel fuel, which will pool and puddle and catch on fire and have explosive vapors.
Right.
Hydrogen disperses very, very quickly, does not pool, does not puddle.
Right.
So things that we are doing even in our research project is to the maximum extent possible, putting our hydrogen equipment outdoors, making sure that we have natural passive ventilation for any indoor instances of hydrogen, using hydrogen monitors on any confined space. So we're doing those types of things because what we're trying to guard against is the accumulation of hydrogen higher than its lower explosion limit, which is 4% in air.
So 4%, okay. That's it. It doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm sure it's still a good amount.
Yeah, it's very hard to get there if you're outdoors or in a well-ventilated space.
Right. I was curious about some of your R&D. What are some of the cutting-edge things that you can discuss around hydrogen?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we're very proud of our integrated hydrogen microgrid project, which we're kicking off now. Sometimes we refer to it as the Super Truck Project. It is a Department of Energy funded project, which will demonstrate the use of hydrogen in utility work trucks as a start.
The larger vehicles as opposed to the smaller consumer ones.
Yes. So in this particular project, we're focusing on medium duty pickup trucks, which would be equivalent to like a Chevy 4500, where a semi-truck would be considered heavy duty in vehicle speak or class 4 or class 6 trucks.
Okay.
These are really important for the utility industry and bucket trucks, along with the class 6 bucket trucks. They often have long range. Not saying they can't be electrified in the traditional battery electric vehicle sense, but it's harder to do that. And the applications for battery electric work trucks may be very limited with the amount of equipment that they have to haul.
Liken that to what I know of is the rocket fuel paradox, where if you build a bigger rocket, you need more fuel, but that weighs more, therefore you need more fuel. And so there's this this arms race as far as finding that sweet spot of, and I guess hydrogen unlocks a lot of that compared to the batteries.
Yeah, hydrogen for the trucks we are developing in collaboration and partnership with General Motors, should mention, are expected to have a range of 300 to 400 miles on a single fill up and provide about 10 hours of job site power, which is really important if our crews are in the field to be able to have power to run their compressors and welders and other types of equipment that's mounted on these trucks.
And I imagine this is the same. Just in my research, I saw that some of the original Toyota hydrogen fuel cars, if you open the trunk, you could actually plug things in because the fuel cell is effectively a generator where it
generates electricity.
And I'm assuming that it's going to have even the higher power outputs, like the 240 and more industrial power. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. The particular fuel cells that we've been working on have 800 volts output.
800.
So we have 800 volts output to run the electric motor of the truck, and then 800 volts step down to 220 available on the truck as exportable power. As you mentioned, Toyota has developed exportable power. Honda and Toyota, I believe, separately have opportunities to package some of their fuel cells as generators as well. And GM has been working on a product that would be a stationary power generator, possibly using it as a mobile charger for electric vehicles in the event that you need sort of a peak demand for charging. You could roll out a fleet of these, say, at large events, sporting events, or places if you needed some extra power on hand.
That's brilliant. You already got the wheels. So I'm curious, thinking about these heavy duty or medium duty vehicles and the range, I'm assuming that these are going to be from home base effectively. Is the idea that there would be fueling stations especially for these vehicles, or is this more of just serving a particular demand area and having on-site generation for these vehicles to refuel?
I think it could be both. It sort of remains to be seen. But I do think that there is a lot of potential for on-site hydrogen generation from electricity to serve hydrogen vehicles. And I say that because thinking back to the earlier comment I made about storage and distribution of hydrogen being the most challenging. By using electricity at the site where it needs to be refueled, you take the distribution out of the equation. So you let the wires and the grid distribute the energy where it needs to go and then generate if that energy needs to go to a fueling station and it needs to be used as a vehicle for recharging, then let it be used as electricity.
Right.
If it needs to go into hydrogen, then let it be used as hydrogen.
Okay.
Convert it right there.
And we've already got the infrastructure built for that.
And we've already got a grid. So the grid serves everywhere. And I think that is a really powerful idea of how we can electrify all forms of transportation using combination of battery and battery electric vehicles and hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles, and do that using the grid as the backbone, converting to hydrogen where needed. And then one other potential idea that we're really working on and hoping to demonstrate in this microgrid project that I mentioned is that excess electricity, if it's available, say too much renewables available at a given time, mm-hmm. could be converted to hydrogen and stored and used as peak power locally rather than having to draw that peak power from the grid. Localized hydrogen is a really great energy storage option. And so it allows us localized energy storage at these refueling depots that would have charging and would have hydrogen dispensing.
A special thanks to Jennifer Zeller for hosting the interview at the Georgia Experience Center down at Georgia Tech. Don't forget to keep an eye out on the TAG website for the second part of the interview in 3 weeks.